Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to the Hawk Time Podcast. I'm joined by my co-host, Adam.
Hello, everybody. How are you?
And our guest for the day, Sam.
What's up, guys?
So, Sam, first off, if y'all don't know him, he's one of our two audio and tech guys, so thank you for that.
Yes, sir.
And your guest on today, what are you what you interested in talking about for the cast today?
So I know a little thing or two about immigration, so I'd say that's probably the topic of choice for today.
Alrighty, so just want to talk about kind of...
If y'all want to just shoot me some questions, and I'll just hit you with a couple answers,
So I think we'll just kind of start off with the basics. For anybody who doesn't know, why are you so interested in immigration?
So I'm partially Puerto Rican, partially Indian. You go two lines back in my family and there's immigrants. So I feel very closely connected to immigration in general, and I see a lot of mistreatment of immigrants. So I think it's an issue that I've become very passionate about. So yeah, it's very important to me. That's probably my biggest policy when it comes to politics. So yeah.
Right. You know, having that that personal connection always helps.
Mm-hmm.
You got anything?
I have a somewhat less, impactful, connection to immigration with my grandparents. But so I'm kind of on the same page with Sam.
Yes, sir.
Like how different ways that we agree with immigration on certain things. So I'm excited for today's episode.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, well, this is kind of boring. I'm, just a American, for as far back as I can remember.
Ooh.
So American immigration policy has varied drastically over time. When it comes to today's immigration policy, it's kind of up in the wind over the past couple presidencies and administrations. When it comes to kind of not just this administration, but kind of recent American history, in the past decade or two, how has it fared in your mind? Has it been enough? Has it been not enough?
So, in my opinion, this has been a chronic issue of immigration in general, is the ease of immigration. So it's very difficult to become a legal immigrant, and I think that's why there's a lot of illegal immigrants, is because right now you have to pay $1,250 to immigrate. There are people who've waited 37 years for a green card, so it's very difficult, and that's not just the Trump administration, but that's multiple administrations into the past. And I think that's one of the places where if there's reform, then immigrants are happier and America's happier, because there's less illegal immigrants, because America loves their taxes, so legal immigrants would be paying taxes then, and the legal immigrants are most likely safer in the United States than where they came from, as a lot of people from Mexico are fleeing from danger, whether it's gang violence or drug violence, stuff like that. So I think reform in the form of ease of immigration would help both sides.
I just think, the biggest thing is that nobody wakes up in the morning and thinks, oh, I'm going to get into this country illegally as, a choice. Nobody wants to be an illegal immigrant.
Yeah, the illegal immigrants coming into America don't necessarily, they most likely don't want to be an illegal immigrant. They're coming over here because...
They almost
They're becoming illegal because they don't have another choice, whether it's funds or time. Yeah, it's something that they can't really help.
Yeah, it's kind of that outside of the country, we have such a tumultuous relationship in South America, and it's led to South America, Central America always being very, different, unstable, and it leads to a lot of people trying to flee. I'm very big on that. I do think that border protection is important, but I think one of the best ways to protect the border is through making it easier to legally immigrate. So there's less people that we have to worry about, why are they here? I think the vast majority, nearly all people, are here not to commit crimes or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I think, if we do want to isolate those bad cases, if we make it legal immigration, anybody who's caught sneaking over the border at that point is a whole lot more likely to be...
There's more reason to be suspicious of somebody coming over when legal immigration is easier. So then the people immigrating illegally, they probably have a reason, a choice to illegally immigrate instead of by force.
Mm-hmm. So, for from here, I guess, if we want to get a little more specific. Let's keep a little bit of a cool in the temperament here.
Absolutely.
When it comes to recent events, not necessarily what do you think about them, or this recent administration, the Trump administration, not necessarily how do you feel about it, but what would you do perhaps to remedy it? Or obviously it's not going to be, you know, 1 year and it's all fixed, but how would you start taking those steps possibly towards solving this particular issue of immigration in America?
Yeah. So, like I previously said, probably the biggest step we could make towards a better immigration system would be ease of immigration. So, to give you some facts about immigrants, so there's this thing called net value, which is basically like how much an immigrant brings into the U.S. economy. So on average, an immigrant brings in around $47,000 to the economy per immigrant. An immigrant under 20, known as a new immigrant, brings around $252,000 into the economy. So they, like, major economic benefits from immigrants. When it comes to safety, take your chance of being struck by lightning, 1 in 1.7 million. Your chances of dying from foreign-born terrorism are half of that. So when it comes to safety concerns, like, there's very little actual concern. It comes a lot from media. So honestly, I think, like, when it comes to legal immigration, I think there's a couple steps that we can take, which is first off, ease of immigration, and second off, having a more public acceptance of immigrants, because immigration, I don't think, should be a partisan issue. Like, when it comes to the benefits of the economy, it shouldn't be partisan.
A lot of times, you know, you have those two sides where it's, you have, oh, we're all immigrants, you know, the far left, like, you can't, like, we're all immigrants, which there's merit to
and
that.
Yeah, and the no person is illegal on stolen land and sentiments like that.
But I think something that can kind of be met in the middle is, like, if we bring them here legally and we make it easier to that, if there's economic benefit, that's something that can be universally accepted. Mm-hmm. I think the problem is, I think if we make it easier to immigrate, I think hopefully, obviously, you know, we can't know until we test it. And obviously, us here, we're not exactly going to be pushing laws for that. But I think something we can see is if we do make it easier, A, you know, you keep that American idea of like a bastion of freedom. Whether that holds true today or not is another debate. And then we have this economic growth that can help, you know, build back this economy, especially with current events, COVID. The economy is something that we need to focus on and try to bring back for small businesses, etc.
Yeah, and when you think about it, like, new immigrants, like I said, are bringing in a quarter of a million per immigrant in their lifetime. So It wouldn't be an immediate solve to the COVID-19 economic crisis, but the more new immigrants we bring in, it's a slow burning fix. Like there's massive benefits. They aren't a major safety threat. There's a lot of concern over immigrants not being able to integrate into our society, but studies show that by the second generation, 99% of immigrants will have fully integrated into American society. So, like, honestly, when I think about immigration, I can't see a lot of drawbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just kind of, I really believe that there's a good economic benefit to it. Like Absolutely. Sam said, over time, I mean, just foreign-born, like, terror is just, like, it's not an immensely, it's still a concern, but, you know, it's not a concern.
It's a minute problem that's been kind of blown out of proportion.
So you shouldn't like take away like the possibility of immigration or anything just on that terror alone, because it kind of gives it a false facade.
Yeah, the way that I would think about it is, like, say you have 3.4 million Skittles, right? Mm-hmm. And there's one poisonous Skittle in there.
Yeah.
You would probably still eat Skittles because it's a 1 in 3.4 million chance. And That's the same with foreign-born terrorism.
That's an interesting...
It's an interesting way to think about it.
I mean, I don't even know if you can eat close to 3 million Skittles in exactly, your life.
Most people would probably never get to the poisonous Skittle.
Yeah.
I think it's very much, if we get kind of past the whole, you know, partisan kind of, this, you know, we're all immigrants, and the whole, you know, you're not American, we don't want you here, those kind of extreme
go
views.
Back to Mexico, stuff like
that. Exactly. I feel like in the middle, if like it's something that's often overlooked because, you know, everything's so polarizing, but I feel like if we kind of look at it from a more objective purpose, we look benefits wise like statistics, obviously those statistics are great. It's also, you know, there probably is some deviation there. No statistic is perfect. But even just looking at it on a broader scale, like those are incredible percentages and statistics.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so when you have that benefit of bringing money into the economy, and America has a problem where we have too many college educated people. We have so many jobs to fill. And when you have these adults who are coming over, it's too late for them to start college, etc.
They bring in massive numbers into the low-cost labor pool, which is absolutely amazing for the economy.
Yeah, like, it's what's triggered the boom here in Nashville. It's, you know, all this construction, etc. We've needed that. We would not have that otherwise.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I feel like if I could give one message to anybody who's listening, it'd be a lot of the issues with immigration are due to implicit biases. And like it or not, all of us have implicit biases. All of us have, like, when we see something that we consider out of the ordinary, we probably have a different reaction, and that could be immigrants or many other political issues. But if you make an active effort to kind of overcome your implicit biases, then it'll make you more accepting of everybody, and like I've already said, it'll bring massive economic benefits into our country in turn. So
if you don't, I've got a question.
What you got?
Well, it's kind of the elephant in the room. So obviously the wall and the idea of a wall. Don't want to look at, you know, anything else. But when it comes, here's something I've always felt. I stated earlier, I believe that border strength is an importance of a country. I think that could be, you know, helped in a non-wall manner. But if we were to look to satisfy both sides, if we make it easier to immigrate and then strengthen our border security, how would you go about, you know, helping strengthen the border? Like me, I think that we should be using the vast technological resources we have, because I think a wall is kind of archaic.
A wall is archaic. Yeah. We have proof that, well, okay, so every history class you've ever been in, you've probably heard that the point of history is to look at past mistakes and not repeat them, right?
Yeah. So great.
History shows that walls do not work.
Yeah.
We have the Great Wall of China, which totally did not stop the Mongols. We have the Berlin Wall, which, I mean, all the problems that caused. So walls
got
just...
got one in Hungary.
Yeah, exactly. Walls just do not work in general. We have massive and major technological things that we could implement for border strength, and I feel like a wall is just kind of not the correct choice.
Do you think it's kind of more of a symbolic thing?
Yeah. I think with President Trump, like him or not, he's the type to kind of implement something that is very symbolic,
and that's
regardless of its functionality.
I just think it's like all politicians, you need that kind of rallying point.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, the American people will love if you build some big monument or some big wall. They'll be like, look, this president did this. So, yeah, I mean, that's a political thing, Democrat or Republican.
People love symbols of what they see, view as progress.
Absolutely. Democrat or Republican, left or right, any of that.
Yeah. So,
but I think if we really want to protect our borders, the wall is not the way to do it.
I think that, just going off of what they said, is that I've got a question to follow. Like, we know it's obviously trying to be symbolic.
Absolutely.
Like, there's no merit behind it. It's not helping an insane amount. But do you think, this is just a question, do you think they may need some portion in a wall in more concentrated areas? Like, not just a random desert, but maybe like San Ysidro, they might need a wall to help out there.
I still feel like a wall isn't super helpful, and my reasoning is, if they're coming over illegally, whether they're fleeing for something or if they actually have reason to choose to be an illegal immigrant, they're going to find a way over, wall or not.
Mm-hmm.
Like just like with many other things, just because you outlaw something, if it's been legal before, then people are going to find a way through either way. So I feel like it could help a very small amount, But mm-hmm. in general, it's, I feel like, a very minute difference in how much it's actually deterring people from coming over.
Of course.
For sure. It's kind of, I just...
And like we said, it's a symbol.
Yeah, it is. And for that belief and those people, those supporters, it's a good one. It's something that's simple. It's a simple idea to comprehend. It does its job well. You know, you have these, you know, build the wall chants, etc. It's worked as a political game. It's done mm-hmm. its job well. The problem is, I think it's too focused on the political game and not realism. Mm-hmm. It doesn't work. It's very easy. Like, didn't they? I think it was like a couple months ago, or almost a year ago now. They found that like mile long tunnel.
Like we said, like there's always going to be a way to get through.
Yeah. So, moving on from here, do you got have anything you'd like to any closing?
I want to thank y'all for having me on. Thanks, sure, Ryan, for helping us with recording.
Yeah, big shout out to Ryan.
Ethan for sitting in the room and being Ethan.
Yep.
Shout out, Ethan. Shout out the kids in the classroom next to us for being probably the loudest people I've ever heard.
We'll cut it out. We'll just cut it.
Nah. I mean, like, they're just all through the recording, but it's fine.
We can cut that part, though.
Go listen to my music on Spotify and Apple Music.
We're cutting you. We're cutting
Look up Mini Pump is fire. You're not. Hey, I'm the editor. So.
We're cutting this.
I'm editing this.
Just turn off his mic.
All right.
But from me and Adam, thank you all for tuning in. This is our first
official episode.
Yeah. Official episode.
First real substance to it. Broad topic. We didn't get super in depth. Future topics will be more in depth. This was kind of a broad starting point, so in future episodes we can get more down to the minute details.
Last thing, if you want, you can go follow us on Instagram at the Hawk Time Podcast. You can look us up on Spotify, Apple Music. We're on RSS. You can find us in all those places. If you have any questions, you're welcome to come talk to us. Shoot us a DM on Instagram or send us an email. Our email's on our Instagram. And, yeah, that's it.
Yeah. For sure. Thank you all for tuning in. And this has been an episode of the Hawk Time Podcast.